Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wet, rainy, nasty day. It's the bye week. All we really have to look forward to is the World Series, the Cavs, and of course, Ohio State on Saturday. Jeff is off today. Tom Withers is in. Dan Menigan's here. Matt Corral is also here as well. Nasty way to start the day today. Like, just too much water and just kind of like rain. And I can't do anything about it, but I don't know. It sets
all right,
my
stop
mood.
Your complaining.
It sets my mood for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I get it. We've had a glorious summer and fall, though, weather-wise, haven't we not? So this rain is actually needed. Hey, they let me back in the building today. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited for you to come back in.
Let's go.
All right, we got a lot of things to talk about today. We are going to talk to Nick Kostos at 11. There's our Odyssey Sports betting insider. He'll give us all the ins and the outs. I want to talk to him about college today, too, as well. Josh Booty, former Browns quarterback, Marlins outfielder, is going to be
LSU quarterback. Stud guy.
We'll talk a little college football with him, too. And then Daryl Ryder, I cannot get away from him. On Sunday, I had to do post with him. On Tuesday, we did the morning show. He checked in with us yesterday. We're going to check back in with Daryl, too. He's the only guy I know that's just like working 24/7 during the bye week. So
yeah, he was one of the few guys on the beats that I would see him in Berea and then later at Progressive Field and then potentially at Rocket Arena all on the same day.
What is that? You, him, and Jeff Shadell?
Yeah, Jeff Shadell, juggles all three. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff works his off too.
He sure does.
And I don't know if he gets enough credit for what he does, but he is he works hard. And you know the thing about Jeff that I like, and the folks that listen to our press conferences that we play here on 92.3 The Fan, that Dan loves. Dan loves playing press conferences. I don't know if you know that or not. Ask him. Dan, you love them, don't you?
They're just an utter joy.
See, that's exactly how he feels about it.
Mr. Ways.
But I always find it interesting that Jeff asks questions that are just a little bit off the beaten path. And I mean, like, there
I'm
are sometimes...
I'm so glad you said that. It's so true.
But that's what makes it interesting, you know? I love that part of it.
It does. Sometimes he asks the questions that you're afraid to ask, and he kind of cuts to the quick, and sometimes elicits really good responses, from coaches and players. And and I love you, Jeff. There's been some cringy questions over the years, but usually gets the job done.
I had no plans on doing this, and I don't know if Jeff would ever even remember the story, but one of the first times I'm going to out myself, and like I almost got into a fight with Jeff in the beginning. I don't even know if Jeff knows this or not. So
we've all had our moments with Jeff. It's okay.
And so now I consider him a friend. I mean, like, we talk all the time. He texts me during the show and stuff, and he works so hard, and I appreciate everything that he does. But when I first started, back in the day, it was like, newspaper was here and radio was over here and TV was over here. There's like very little because everybody does everything.
All hands on deck.
So Corey Fuller, I'll never forget this because I just moved up to Cleveland. I was working in Columbus and I was working for Fox Sportsnet. And my beat was kind of Columbus. I was still doing Ohio State football and I was going to practices I was going to press conferences because Ohio State's practice accessibility has never been very good. And I would do Ohio State stuff. And then I came back up, and I hope Jeff's listening right now. If he's not, I'll tell him to hit the rewind and listen to it. But, so I was there, and we had a reporter named Carrie Sayers, did an outstanding job. She was here for a while, and then she ended up in Chicago.
I love Carrie. She was awesome.
And Carrie was on the Browns beat.
Right.
And we had split it up, but our offices were both in Cleveland. So, I don't know. Corey Fuller played for what? Minnesota?
Before
Cincinnati?
He came here,
played for
Vikings
Minnesota.
Before here, right?
Yeah. So she was off that day, and I was in, and I had to cover the Browns, which I only did maybe a handful of times after I got to Cleveland. When I was in Columbus, I was up here every once in a while, but not very often. So now I'm at the press conference. I'm in the locker room, and you know, like, let's just say locker room was open for an hour, 11 to 12. And Jeff had went over and talked to Corey Fuller at the time because I think they were getting set to play the Vikings that week. And I had one job. My one job that day was to ask Corey Fuller like two questions about playing the Vikings. And Jeff was standing there at like, I got a couple sound bites. I don't even know who the quarterback was. I sat there and I'm out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching to see what Corey Fuller's doing, right? I'm waiting for him to come back. So if it's from like 11 to 12, that's when it's open. So now at like 11:15, Corey walks back to his locker, and then I see Jeff walk over there. And I didn't know who Jeff was at the time either. So Corey's standing there, and Jeff walks over to him, and I can see that they're the only two talking to each other. So like in the media world, which people don't understand, is if you see a reporter and they're going to talk to a player one-on-one in that locker room situation.
Give them space. Yeah.
You give them space because they're doing a feature story on them. They're doing something unique, okay? And so I stayed away for like half hour, and I watched as the two just talked and talked and talked. The locker room closes at 12, and they're going to kick you out at 12. It's like 11:52, and he's still talking to him. And I'm like, okay. So now I'm like, I've got to get these two questions in. It's not that big a deal. So I walk over and I just drop my Fox Sports Net microphone in. And Jeff looks at me while he's asking Corey another question and writing it down. And I'm like, okay. And because I was trying not to be rude.
Right.
And so he looks at me and then he looks at Corey and he got really mad and he goes, well, apparently this microphone holder has a few questions for you.
Oh.
And I looked at Jeff and I go, Jeff, I've been waiting 35 minutes to talk to this guy. I had two questions for him. He goes, well, go ahead and ask. And I was like, okay. And so I asked him two questions about playing Minnesota, and I got out of there. And I remember walking up to Dan Coughlin afterwards, and I'm like, Danny, dude, what is up with this guy? And he said, he goes, it's Jeff. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I go, I waited, and I was like going through the whole story. And you know, but he called me this. He called me a microphone
holder,
which is like the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
When you get into that scenario, so I don't
have
know.
Have you remained that to Jeff over the years?
I don't know that I've ever shared that story back with him again because eventually we became friends, and I kind of let it go. But now I really let it go.
Yeah, there's some interesting media moments we've had over the years, and you mentioned Danny Coughlin. My God, I miss Danny.
There were two. I'm not going to name names of this, but during a baseball playoff game, two good friends went toe-to-toe, man. I thought they were going to throw punches.
Oh, Hoynsey versus Sheldon.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Was that public knowledge?
I was sitting in the middle of it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We still laugh about it.
It was hysterical.
It was unbelievable.
Well, I don't even know what they were fighting about.
I can't remember.
I'm telling you, folks, if you could have been in the press box and all the things that you think about, I couldn't believe, because I had spent the whole year doing pre and post game year.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on?
Believe it
over
or not,
there?
I think it had to do with John Rocker. I think it was a John Rocker related story.
Oh, my God.
Because I think it was a Sunday morning. It was that Mariners Indian series.
Yeah.
2001, 2002. And they almost threw hands.
I thought they were going to throw punches. I don't. That would have been an interesting bout.
Yeah,
I'm going to say probably three rounds, and I don't think there would have been a winner.
There's been some media on media crime in this town.
It's pretty good.
Don't know about. Yeah.
Oh,
it gets heated. It gets hot.
You remember when the Browns were leaving, and like all the Baltimore media was in here?
Okay, that was before my time.
There were scenes in the locker room where the guys were going, they were pushing each other out of the way, and the Cleveland videographers were like, yeah, what this is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our locker room, what are you guys doing in here? You know, we cover these guys every day for our entire lives, and now you guys are coming over from Baltimore and you're trying to squeeze in.
I can imagine.
Now we don't have any room. Yeah. I mean, you've seen pictures of guys standing up against the back of a wall or against a locker, and there's like 400 cameras here.
Yeah.
And if you aren't, you know, over 6 foot as a videographer, you got troubles.
Yeah.
That's why Tommy Livingston, who I worked with for years at Channel 5, was the greatest because he's like 6'4"-ish, maybe even more than 6'4". And it, like, we always had good video at that point because we knew Tommy was coming.
Yeah.
But then we had another guy named Jimmy Lentz who was shorter in stature. Sorry, Jimmy, if you're listening. And but he would muscle his way into the front. And so, like, there's all these little behind the scenes stories that you don't really you don't get to hear about, but they're kind of fun now that I think about it.
There's obviously been some very and some noteworthy media on player interactions. I was at Shea Stadium the night that Bobby Bonilla told Bob Clappish that he would show him the Bronx. So I've seen some of the more famous ones. Yeah. And obviously, you know, blow ups in managers' offices and all that stuff that, you know, now would be even more viral than they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago, what have you. So
it's also interesting when you go back and look at the perspective of the whole thing too. Like we all love Kenny Lofton, right? Kenny had some great years here in Cleveland, but there were times when
Kenny was
feisty, man.
Yeah.
No one was ever as feisty as Albert, though.
No.
Albert, like, was the king of the king.
But then
Albert came back to training camp, or came back to spring training a couple years ago.
Mr. Congeniality.
Was the nicest guy I'd ever talked to. I was like, wait a minute, is this really the same guy that we were watching?
Kenny was a challenge, but I liked the fact that Kenny was a challenge. And if you figured out how to work with Kenny, you were fine.
100%.
You know what I mean? And I've got a great relationship with Kenny now. Anytime I see him, he goes out of his way to come over and say hello, and a really good guy. And oh, by the way, I've come around on it. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
The numbers are
really, you know, when you think about what he was able to do off both sides of the ball, right? I mean, we were talking about that a little bit yesterday with Chris Rose, right? And in terms of how baseball is a little bit different that way. I mean, dynamic on the base paths as well, you know, was the real engine behind that, those teams when you think about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But the other behind the scenes thing about Kenny was Kenny was a radio TV major at Arizona. His lab partner was a guy.
Also a basketball player, by the way.
Yeah, and did all three of those, right? So, but he, his lab partner for radio TV stuff in college was a guy I worked with in Montana.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's
and
funny.
And so I remember being like, Scott Kilburn was this guy's name. Now he's, I think he's in Kansas City. He's like a big news anchor now there. And I just remember going, oh, I love the Indians because Kenny Lofton was my lab partner at Arizona. I was like, wow.
Wow.
So I was always blown away when you would go into there was one game with Kenny that I'll never forget. It wasn't even like a bad play. And I remember Kenny looking, somebody asked him a question about, I don't know, maybe there was a ball that got between him and whoever was playing right field that night. And they ended up getting the ball, turning around. I think they threw the guy out at the plate. And somebody said to Kenny, I don't know if you remember this either. I don't know if you're around for this. Somebody said, Kenny, what happened on the play? And Kenny looked right at him. He goes, what do you mean?
That was his common response to everything.
Yeah, what do you mean? And he'd be like, well, you know that great play in the fourth inning?
That's so funny.
And he'd be like, I don't know. You tell me. And the reporter's like, it was a great play. Just what did you see? How did that?
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. What'd you see? I don't know. Yeah, and I'm like, Kenny, I'm like, all he's doing is asking you to describe a great play. Like, it wasn't even a bad play. That was the whole thing.
Right. And I'm sure there was probably a couple of media people that came to the aid of that person, right? Because we're all kind of in it together. And when you get those awkward moments in the locker room, there is nothing worse. I mean, it is just, it's so hard, right? Your heart starts racing. You're like, okay, are these guys going to fight? Hoynsey was in a famous fight.
We have 2 minutes. Give me the fight, and then we're going to get to the Bronx.
I'm trying to remember if it was
with a player?
Indians player. Oh, yeah. I mean, throwing each other around. Like, he got thrown over the stool. And
God.
A fist fight. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I still like, I mean, if Hoynsey knew it was coming, I still like, he's got, He's got a little feistiness. Like, I bet his right jab would probably be pretty good when he was young.
Hoynesy played rugby at Marquette.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm messing with Hoynesy. Back in the day. Now, it'd be cruel to mess with Hoynesy.
I still wouldn't mess with Hoynesy.
I wouldn't either.
I love Hoynesy.
He's the most lovable person in
Hoynesy,
the media.
By the way, is up for Hall of Fame induction again. I got the ballot in the mail on Wednesday. He's for the media award.
Yeah.
He's up against Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated and Newsday. And also Scott Miller, who is a longtime national baseball writer who unfortunately passed away this past year. So, and from what I understand, I think Hoynesy came within like 9 votes of election last year. So be nice to get him in, man. That's a Cooperstown trip I would definitely make.
I would go
to hear
that
the hawk call in Cooperstown. There'd be nothing better.
Yeah, I don't even know if people know what the hawk call is too either. So, all right, we'll get it. Hawk call is a thing where he goes in a press box and he does a call for hawk. Yeah. And it's just, it gets your
attention.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's actually kind of funny. People don't know when it's going to happen, so it takes them by surprise. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I'm going to be super honest with you. If you're around Playhouse Square this morning, you may want to bring some nose plugs with you. As I was walking into the building today, they're doing something with the sewage outside. Dan, have you noticed this? I can kind of smell it in the building itself. You can smell this, right?
Yeah, you may want to breathe through your mouth for a little bit.
Yeah, it is not pleasant. Just going to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you.
Are you with
it? It's like the steel mill smell, right?
No, the steel mill smell was better. Like, you know what's weird? Like, to me, the steel mill smell isn't horrible because...
You know that one, though, right?
Well, oh, yeah. I know why, because my dad was an electrician down there. And when I was a little kid, you know, you're a little kid and you want to run up and hug your dad when he gets home from work. And I remember he was coming home from the mill and I would run up and like, I know that smell. That and Brute. I know the smell of Brute. My dad would use that. And that Panad stuff that you'd get at a barbershop.
No high karate. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Oh, I think he did high karate for a while. I think he got Brute for the holidays one year, and so that he kept wearing that stuff. But that's his go-to. It's Panad, I think, is the stuff they use at the barbershop.
There's a certain aroma downtown.
Yeah. I would kill for any of those smells right now over what we're feeling right now. What were you going to say, Dan? I thought you had something you were going to chime in. Oh, okay. All right. And let's get into the Browns a little bit here, too, because if I'm going to get yelled at.
It's the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, it should be the bye week on a lot of the topics that we would do every day, too. But one of the things that's going to happen during the bye week is the trade deadline, which is Tuesday. And you have to ask yourself, look at these guys, look at these guys who are under one-year contracts, and are they going to be back? And if they're not going to be back, do you wonder if they're going to get traded? Maybe there's a contender that could use something or someone of their talents to be able to help another team. So let's go through a couple of those guys. Let's start with the offensive line, Teller, Posick, and Bitonio. Joel, I feel like Joel came back out of the goodness of his heart this year. I do, because, I mean, the guy has given this franchise everything.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things about Joel Bitonio. So this summer, my first day back out there working freelance, standing on the sideline, and the play kind of tumbled out of bounds, whatever, and they pulled Teller and Bitonio off the field or whatever, and Joel looks over and says, "Hey, I thought you retired." And I said, "Hey, I thought you did too." So he said, "Fair enough." So yeah, you know, Joel came back for this season. We have to all assume that's probably going to be it. So
yeah,
Joel's not going anywhere. And as far as Postage and Teller are concerned, I mean, if you're going to evaluate a rookie quarterback or two over the next month and a half or 2 months, whatever the case may be.
I don't know how you can walk away from them.
You can't deplete that. I mean, it's already, you know, you're already dealing with backup situation at left tackle.
Right.
You know, Conklin came back last week and that was great. And, you know, Jack has had his struggles with injuries over the last couple of years. So, you know, the heart of that offensive line is kind of one of the few things you can kind of hold on to at this point. So I don't see any of those guys moving. Now, that's not to say that, look, and we all know Andrew Berry is willing to wheel and deal with whomever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure those phone calls are happening every day, and I'm sure people are inquiring. But I think, at least from the center and the guard standpoint, those guys are safe.
And looking, I can't see those guys leaving. For the same reason, if you've got two rookie quarterbacks that you're planning on getting on the field, you have to have some kind of experience. And I do think that the major deficiencies that we're seeing from the offensive line are coming from the outside. It's not. It's another reason why I'm not surprised they're not bringing in more tight ends.
No, right.
Because if you're going to cover up the tackles on the outside, you're going to help your offensive line.
I mean, I don't think any of those guys inside right now are having Pro Bowl seasons, but that's not to say that they're not still really good players, you know, and they are they bring experience to not only the field but to the locker room, and those are important things to have right now with this squad.
What's your read on Luke Whipler?
You know, it's been
interesting. I'm talking about if you do need to leave these one-year contract guys. Where are we with Whipler? And then there's another question there on the line too. But
yeah, so Whipler had the broken leg last year, right? And
right.
He's worked his way back into, at least he's in some of those jumbo packages or whatever you have now, and they have him on the field. I think they want to take a longer look at him at some point. You know, maybe as this season, you know, evolves or devolves or whatever you want to call it, there may be chances for him to get some more snaps with the first team offense. We'll see. You know, God forbid, and knock on wood, you know, injuries tend to happen, right? Injuries happen up and down on both sides of the line. So maybe Whipler gets his shot that way. I think they still like him, Andy. Like, I haven't heard anything, you know, negative about him. You know, productive guy when he's been in there. You know, well liked amongst his teammates. Good guy. You know,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, all that stuff. So
yeah,
I can't say too much negative about him, but you know, we'll see.
All right. So when we talk about other guys that could fill in depth on the offensive line too, let me put it this way. I hope no one tells Harold Fannin that he was drafted in the third round, because the third round has been not good for Andrew Berry. And then you've got another third rounder on the offensive line and Zach Zinter. And every week he's inactive. Every week he's inactive. And, you know, is he coming back from injury? Is he not up to snuff? Like, what do you think's going on with him?
I really don't know.
Because he was ballyhooed coming out of Michigan.
He was, and I think he played in pretty much every game last year, made a couple starts, as I recall. So, you know, again, you know, injuries are going to move the depth chart around. So, I haven't heard, again, you know, much like Luke, I haven't heard anything, you know, demeaning by any means about Zach. I going into the season, Andy, I'll be honest with you, when we talked about strengths and weaknesses of this team, I was really concerned about the offensive line depth, because there really has not been enough. Andrew Berry hasn't done enough, I think, to get it adequately stacked up in case you have these injuries or what have you. So, the DeJuan Jones injury, obviously, trickle down effect from that, right? And we've had kind of a rotation there at left tackle. Conklin's been back, and you know, the guys they've put in at the tackle spots here in backup situations have just not been good. I mean, it's been, you know, when we talk about Dylan Gabriel and evaluating him, and I'm sure we're going to get into some more of that at some point here today, you know, the way the pocket has been collapsing from kind of the outside in has made it really tough on him. It's been hard for him to get outside the pocket. It's been hard for him to step up. I know there's people that talk about he has a hard time seeing down the field to begin with. So, the pocket has not been great, and I think that's got a lot to do with the tackle situation. Again, much like Whipler, I would think Zinter's going to get a chance to get a longer look at some point this season.
All right, let's go, again, one-year contract, guys, and we go to the defensive side of the ball. Shelby Harris is, you know, sitting behind me. Malik Collins, Mike Hall came back next week. I don't, could Shelby Harris be a guy, a name that we hear on Tuesday moving teams?
You know, I would think so, except that he gives you, you know, you do have some depth on that defensive line, right?
Yeah, then, when you look at the defensive line compared to the offensive line,
I mean, they can rotate guys in there, right? Yeah. You can give Miles a break. You can give Collins a break. I can't remember. I should have looked it up, and I can here, how many snaps Mike Hall had last week. But they're going to still kind of bring him along slow, right? I mean, it's not going to be, you know, he's not going to go from 25 plays to suddenly 60 in a game. So, you know, they're going to have to kind of slow play him a little bit, see how he's doing with that knee. A valuable guy. I mean, we've all talked about what potentially that front group could be like with Graham and Hall playing side by side, and you know, what that means to both Myles Garrett and Alex Wright on the ends. And so, I don't know, Shelby is a guy, you know, again, 1 year deal, well-liked in the locker room, you know, experienced leadership type of guy. So I think those are invaluable pieces right now. Now, that's not to say, though, although, if you can get a draft pick for him, then maybe you do it. Although
maybe you do.
I feel like they've got enough draft picks.
Yeah, well, no, that's true, too. But I think the other guy that's turned heads, even though he's a little banged up right now, is Aiden Huntington, right? And he's given them more defense, more depth on defensive line. And, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a free agent, college free agent.
Incredible. Swiss Army knife, too. I mean, they've had him in the backfield. They've had him on special teams. He's that one guy that really stood out in training camp. Like, who is this guy, and how do we keep him on the roster?
I say name the stadium after him, and then he's good to stay, right? I mean, you don't even have to give him a lot of money. Like, hey, look at all his promotion.
Yeah, no, but what a great story, right? Yeah, yes. Kind of unsung and unknown and made the most of it. You know, spent the offseason with Myles Garrett down in Dallas, which is a good move by anybody if you're, you know, trying to make a name for yourself or trying to enhance your career. So, yeah, good on him.
So, I think the biggest name, though, that I think we have our eye on, and I think Denzel Ward's safe. I don't think fans want to see him go anywhere. I'm just wondering.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either, but I wonder what, like, if somebody came in and said, here's a first or here's a first and some for Denzel. I mean, when Denzel, you know, is okay and is healthy, man, he's best in the league, one of the best in the league.
No question.
And, you know, I wonder if that's somebody that could get lifted, I guess, out of the, I don't know why you would get rid of him. Other than you feel like we're really not going anywhere. And
well, you're going to have to get equal value, and I don't know if that's available.
I don't think.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a unique situation. And, you know, who knows? We still got to get through, you know, tonight and Sunday and Monday as well, right before the deadline. And, you know, injuries do happen. So if you ever saw like a top cornerback, then to your point, then those kind of conversations become even
louder. A team who's one step away from, you know, making the playoffs or a Super Bowl team. That okay, so I do think the biggest name that we're going to be talking about for the next 4 or 5 days is David Njoku.
No question.
Because Harold Fannin's had success, and I don't know that that's the way it should be. I love having two really, really good tight ends. And Fannin has absolutely turned heads. I mean, he was rookie of the week last week in the NFL. I don't know how much more you can add. He has like one play in the back of my mind that he dropped that I'm like,
he's had a couple drops. But by and large, though, he's been a ray of sunshine in this otherwise dreary season.
How does his play affect David Njoku?
Well, I think it's, you know, they want to have packages where, you know, Fannin is on the field more than he is already, right? And I think it's you know, part of him being in kind of those more of those jumbo tighter tight end packages, if you will. They kind of, you know, Fannin is good enough and quick enough that they can use him in the slot, much like David Njoku was a couple years ago. Like he's changed a little bit as a tight end in terms of the way they use him, right? Mm-hmm. I remember a couple years ago when I was talking to somebody with the Browns and I was saying, you know, you guys are really lacking that quick twitch type of wideout, like that slot guy who can catch the ball like a yard away from the line of scrimmage and go.
And I
was told, you know what? No, we got David Njoku. And when you think about it, that's kind of how they used him earlier in his career, right? He would get that little screen to the side, break a tackle or two. Now it's David Njoku who goes down 8 yards, you know, finds a seam in the zone, catches the ball, and then, you know, carries 4 tacklers for an extra couple of yards. So he's a different kind of player, still a very good, productive player. I just don't know, Andy and Dan, what you get in return for a David Njoku right now. Is it a third round pick? Are you looking for a position player? Can you swap David Njoku for a wide receiver? Oh, by the way, that I think would help this team in this struggling offense right now. So, 85 is the one I think we all have to circle here over the next 4 or 5 days.
All right, I want to talk more about David Njoku with you. I do want to ask you your thoughts on David Njoku and, you know, What would you do if you were the Browns? Would you hang on to him? Would you trade him to see what you could get to find out where you're going with that? I like David. He's been probably my favorite player on the team, you know, since he was 19 years old. Yeah. Because I love the tight end position. I like the way he plays the game. And he always seems to be, you know, a rock solid source when you're inside the red zone. Somehow, some way, he gets open and they're able to get him the ball. If they can get him the ball, that's the problem.
If they can get to the red zone.
It's not on him, because I was I watch him all the time down there and I'm like, he was open. All they had to do was put the ball up in the air and he could have got it.
The few times they've been down there over the last couple of weeks, I've thought the same thing. I'm like, yeah, let's get the fade to 85 here, or let's get to 85 over the middle. And they've missed some opportunities. I'm with you, Andy. You know, we've seen David grow up here, literally, quite literally, you know, coming out of Miami as a 19-year-old. And has really, you know, grown into being one of the more dependable tight ends in the game. Terrific guy. You know, he had the unfortunate fire accident a couple years ago and still played through that. Big personality. I mean, it doesn't take long when the locker room's open on a Friday, it doesn't take long to hear and or see David Njoku, because he's usually walking back into the locker room with a boombox over his head, blasting some music to irritate or amuse the various media members in there. So yeah, he's a good guy. I think he means well. He's passionate. Really grown into a leadership role with this team. You know, Kevin Stefanski has spoken very highly of 85 the last couple of years.
And deserves a praise. The Undertaker is in Kirtland. Hi, Undertaker.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing? Long time. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, it's good to have you. Say hello to my friend Tom.
Hey, hi, Tom. I love when you have Tom. I love Jeff, but I love when you have Tom on, because you know, I'm a few years older than him, but when he was talking about some of the players yesterday from he can remember the Frank Duffys and so on.
Yeah, there you go.
I go way back then, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Browns and where I think they're going to. I agree with you guys. I don't want to see him trade David. You know, I like to see some of these players. David's one of our team leaders, and you don't trade some of the leaders. We need some of those guys for these rookies. I mean, we're one of the youngest teams right now with 14 rookies on this team. But where I think the Browns are heading is this reminds me right now. Of course, I'm a diehard, so I was at the 64 championship game. That's where how far back I go, and I'm a diehard season ticket Browns and Indians, or Guardians now, I guess. But the Browns remind me right now of where the Indians were back in 1990-91, when we had a bunch of young players like Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, Albert Bell, Sandy Alomar, and we were building a brand new stadium. And, you know, I think that the goal is to have this team, the Browns, you know, in 2027, 2028, ready to compete when we open that new stadium. And I think that's where they're heading towards, and that's, you know, where they're going at. The one thing though that I want to ask you guys this is, you know, last year when the Giants cut Jones, the quarterback, I mean, he was a free agent. I mean, we could have picked him up for probably minimum salary. And he was the type of player, a quarterback, and look what he's doing now with the Colts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable.
We watched that with regret too. I think
he's
said
in the
same
MVP conversation. Think of that.
You know who spins the wheel of regret more than anybody is Jeff on him. Jeff talks about it all the time.
But I want to say this one thing, and I'll let you guys go.
Oh,
you know, I go way back, and Tom probably can relate to this. You know, when I was about 10 years old, I got a transistor radio, and you know, every night I would go to bed and I would put it under my pillow. My parents didn't know it. And I would be listening to the Indians games, you know.
Yeah.
And so now 65 years later, you know, I need hearing aids. And now I have hearing aids with Bluetooth, with Bluetooth them. So I can be sitting in a church or wherever, and the only person that ever catches me is my wife, because I walk in the house and she says, "Are you plugged in right now?" I said, "I'm listening to 92.3.
Oh, all right. Well, good job. Thank you, Undertaker.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Undertaker.
It.
Thanks, love you, man.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
That's great.
Oh, my dad. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, transistor radios. Like, kids now can't relate. I was the same way. I am a little bit younger than the Taker. But yeah, same thing. I would lay there
Mr.
at night.
Taker.
I would lay there at night, and whether it was sports or you know, pop radio in the 70s, I mean, that was the thing. And the other thing I can remember is kids sneaking the transistor radios into school.
Oh, yeah.
So we could listen to the World Series games that were played during the day. What a concept.
My dad always told me the story, too, that like they had season tickets for the Playhouse, and my mom always loved going by. Dad, they, during the 97 playoff run, it had to be the 97 playoff run, they were at, like, I don't know if it was Les Mis or if it was Phantom or something like that. In the middle of one of the plays at Playhouse Square, my parents were there that night, and they
crowd erupted or something like
that. The crowd erupted in the middle of an act.
Oh God!
And the actors who we are so blessed with the Broadway shows that we get here in Northeast Ohio. They said the crowd went crazy because they had made the World Series. I think they had won the ALCS.
Gotcha.
And they stopped.
Stopped the performance?
Yeah, they like no, because the crowd was going nuts. And they couldn't figure out why, because it had nothing to do with what was going on
funny.
Stage. And everyone started cheering, and then the actors stopped, and then everyone settled down and went back in. And then somebody got back up in the crowd and go, no, this one's for you. And then they started pointing to the people up on stage.
Oh, that's funny.
And then at the end of the play, every actor came back out with an Indians hat on.
Love it.
When they took their final curtain call. I don't know why I started thinking of that story, but you get these great moments that transcend sports and where you're going. I really don't want, going back to Njoku, though, I don't want them to trade him. But there is a part of me that, like, when someone wants to make the argument to, if you wanted to trade Miles or you wanted to trade David or you wanted to trade one of these guys, that you would be 100% buying into the fact that we're just going to watch these rookies grow, sit back, relax, and enjoy it, and don't get all fired up, because we're not going anywhere now, but we're going to give them the opportunity. But it's the NFL. You should be able to be good and within two and a half years.
But this goes back to what we talked about yesterday, Andy. They're not playing on Sunday, but this is a Thursday, and we're having a rational conversation about what the season should be about.
Yes.
And then we get to kick off on Sunday, and everything changes. So you're right, and I would hate to see David go for a number of reasons, and I think The Undertaker makes a good point as well in terms of this being such a young team with 14 rookies, and including a rookie quarterback, including a rookie tight end, you know, on and on and on. And so it's important to have those guys that have kind of been through the war, so to speak, you know, around to guide these kids.
We got to go to break here in a second. When we come back, we're going to have Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider, 11 o'clock. Both you and I wanted to take, I know we have just a few minutes here, but we wanted to send our condolences to the EFTA family, Jack EFTA. And, you know, a lot of times, I think if you listen to Jeff and I, or you're listening to Tom and I, and that's why I love sharing these, like, we gave you probably a way too long behind the scenes story to open up the show today, but we lost a dear friend last night, Jack EFTA, and it bums me out because I hadn't talked to him in a while. And Jack was a guy that ran the umpire's room over at the ballpark from 95 to 2019, and he basically ran spring training. He did a lot of great stuff at spring training from 2000 until 2020.
A jack of all trades,
and he
literally.
Just a great human being.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
wonderful
you.
Wonderful guy.
Like, there was I'll share the story really quick. Mm-hmm. When I was doing postgame for the Indians, at the time, I had like these cards, and they were kind of, I would hang on to them, but I didn't, it was just awkward. So, like, I didn't know what to do with them while I was in the middle of the show, and I didn't want to hold the cards, and I was trying to put them out. Jack watched me do the show one day, and I was, like, probably talking to Ben Broussard or something while I was doing it. And all I had on the card was runs, hits, and errors, and major plays that had happened through the thing. And the next day, Jack looked at me, and he goes, you know, I think I have an idea. And I was like, well, what's the idea? And the next day, he came back, and he had this wooden triangle for me. And it was a place for me to keep my cards while I was doing the show, so you couldn't see it on camera, so I could not forget some of the things I didn't want to forget while I was telling the show. And, you know, Jack was so funny. I would sit in the umpire's room with Jim Folk, who ran the ballpark forever, and Jim just retired too. And by the way, just Jim, fantastic job on all the renovations and everything they did at the ballpark. And yeah, I tip my cap to him, because he makes that ballpark great. But, you know, Jim, Jack and I would sit there, and I would watch like the last two innings of every game in the umpire's room. And Jack always opened the door to me, always let me sit in there, and always had a bowl of M&Ms that I could eat. And I will never forget. And I'm just, when you told me this morning that he passed away last night, I was just really sad.
Yeah, we had you know, kind of a text chain last night when we got the news from Bart Swain with the Guardians, and people were sharing, you know, just what a wonderful guy he was, and always in a good mood, always upbeat. Love to talk hockey. Love to talk the Red Wings.
He would come up to me all the time and tell me because he was and he didn't start skating until later in life.
Yeah.
And he would go play pickup at Shaker at Thornton Park.
Yeah.
And you know he'd come back and he'd tell me, oh man, he was the biggest Red Wings fan.
He became very close friends with Scotty Bowman, the Hall of Fame hockey coach.
Yes.
Yeah, like knows him better than anybody. It's incredible. And it was a relationship that kind of came out of nowhere. Like I forget how they had a mutual friend or whatever, and they ended up becoming like. You know, they would travel together, and it was unbelievable. Like, he could have written the Scotty Bowman biography if he wanted to. But, yeah, really, really sorry to see him go. He was an avid cyclist. He and I would bump into each other every once in a while riding around the streets of Westlake. And like you said, a woodworker, Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, shared a story last night that after his daughter Ella was born, that Jack had, you know, carved her name and presented it to him. So just that kind of guy, right, yeah. That would just do anything for you. So he'll be missed, you know.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
And you know, the best way to pay tribute to him, if you knew Jack, or if you didn't, and you just hear the story, Velsano was his.
Velsano.
Yeah, sorry.
Absolutely.
Is the way to say thank you, or just if you're thinking about him or anybody else, in that kind of, you know, it, with a little bit of sadness, they want to try to make somebody else.
That or the Hospice of the Western Reserve, which is right. Also a wonderful place, and yes. I've dealt with that, you know, in terms of my family as well. So they do the Lord's work.
Yeah. Jack Efta, you will be missed, our friend. We will be missed. Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.